Good evening. Before we look at the word, I wanted to mention there's a bulletin insert in your bulletin about devoting ourselves to prayer. I wanted to encourage you to read it from different testimonies of people in the body. It seems like the Lord's really pouring a spirit of prayer in our church. Amen. I've just heard people come up to me and say, boy, I've just been praying a lot lately. And I've heard a couple of people say, I'm getting together with so-and-so and we're praying. And it's just amazing how the Lord is moving in our midst to pray. Last week, I prepared a great sermon. I didn't even get to preach it because God wanted us to pray. If he wants to do that tonight, he's welcome to do that. Because I'd rather have God's way than my way. Amen. So we're encouraging people to devote themselves to prayer. And one of the things we want to do is we want to encourage you. A lot of people up here during the week, moms are dropping off kids for class, or dads are up here doing different projects. We want to encourage you to come to the sanctuary and sit down and spend about 5 minutes and 10 minutes and just offer up your prayers to the Lord. They can be personal needs, family needs, pray for the church. God's laying certain themes on our heart about surrender, repentance, unity, and things of that nature. So we really want our church to be a sanctuary of prayer. Amen. As a matter of fact, the Lord, when he went into the temple and he threw the money changers out, he quoted the Old Testament where God said that his house was to be a house of prayer. And so it's not just this house, but it's us. We are the house. And so Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in their midst. And so maybe when you come up here and you see another brother or sister, you can grab them and say, hey, let's go in the sanctuary for a few minutes and we're just going to pray. And come together, and as two or three come together, Jesus will come and be in their midst. In Romans, this is not my text for tonight, but I want to share this with you. In Romans 8, it's interesting, if you want to turn there, I want to share a few thoughts about prayer before I... maybe you'll get two sermons tonight for the price of one. In Romans 8, this whole chapter is just sweet because it's like the if you study the structure of the book of Romans, the way Romans is built, it really builds up to chapter 8. This is like the pinnacle of the whole doctrinal discussion that he gives in the first 8 chapters. But he talks about, if you all know Romans 7 is the chapter on the struggle of the flesh and the spirit. In Romans 7, we see Paul, who desires to serve God, desires to do what is right, and yet he says, the thing that I want to do, I don't do. The thing that I don't want to do, I do. Can anybody relate to that? Okay, right? Well, that's because there's an internal struggle in the believer. He's born of God. He has the Spirit of God in him, yet he's fighting against the flesh. So we know the right thing to do, yet often we don't do the right thing. If we were left in Romans 7, the Christian life would be just a terrible thing. It would be a terrible thing to be a Christian. But we're not left in Romans 7. We're taken into Romans 8. Romans 7 is like the Old Testament Israel in the wilderness. Romans 8 is Israel in the promised land. They're still fighting, but they're winning. In the wilderness, they're fighting themselves. In the promised land, they're fighting God's enemies. And so Romans 8 is the Spirit-filled life. This is the life where the believer has submitted to the Spirit's guidance and leading in his life. And it says in verse 12 of Romans 8, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. We do not have to live according to the flesh. That's what Paul's saying. You are not obligated to live in the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death or mortify, mortify is the King James word. I love that word. I wish we would never lose that word. It's such a good word, mortify. Kind of sounds like Mordecai in the Old Testament. Put to death, mortify the deeds of the body, you will live. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship or adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. And Paul talks about the sufferings of this present age, not comparable in any way to the glory that's going to be revealed. And in verse 22, he says, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Okay. Then in verse 28, he says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. What's interesting to me is in verse 22, Paul says, we know, we understand the effects of the curse and the suffering, therefore, in this life. In verse 28, he says, we know that God is working all these things for good. But in verse 26, he says, there's something we don't know. Look at verse 26 in your Bible. You're looking at it? No, you're not. You're looking at me. Look at your Bible. Look at verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. We know this truth, and we know this truth, but walking through it and praying through it, we don't know how to do it. So we really don't know how to pray as we ought to pray unless the Spirit is interceding through us. Amen? This is Spirit-filled prayer. You hear people talk about spirit-filled prayer as if praying in the Spirit means you're praying in tongues. This is spirit-filled prayer. This is prayer that is guided and led by the Holy Spirit of God. Why is this so important? Because the Spirit of God knows the mind of God. Now, there's so many things to pray for. I mean, you could pray all day long and just begin to go through the list, right? The question is, at any given time in our personal lives, and I think that the churches have these seasons, any given time, what is on the heart of God? What does God want? What does God want from you now? Not 5 years from now. What does God want from you now? What does God want to do in your life now? You say, well, Pastor, I need so much help. There's a million things God could do in my life, right? I need patience. I need strength. I need wisdom. I need money. I need help in this relationship. I need help in my kids. I need, you know. Well, what's on the heart of God now? The Spirit knows. Paul says, the Spirit, verse 27, he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints. He, the Spirit, prays for the saints. Some would translate this, he prays through the saints according to God, or according to the will of God, or according to the mind of God. The Spirit knows what you need. The same holds true for your family. The same holds true for your church. The Spirit knows what we need. Now, I might think that I know. You might think that you know. But there is one that we know knows. Right? That is the Lord, the Spirit. He knows the mind of God. So when the Spirit of God is yielded to in prayer, and the Spirit can pray through the saints, not just for the saints, then those prayers are according to the will of God. Why is that important? Because John says that if we pray according to his will, we know that he hears us. If we pray according to his will, God will answer. Now, some people say, well, if you want to pray according to his will, just pray the Bible. Well, there's a truth in that. I believe in praying the scriptures. I believe that. But the problem is, how do we know which scripture for which time? How do we know which scripture for which person? Right? We know because the Spirit of God tells us so. And so it is so important in our private prayer life, our family prayer life, our corporate prayer life, is that we learn to yield to the Holy Spirit. What is He laying on the heart of God's people to pray? That's the important thing. And some of the things that the Lord is laying on the heart of many people here is surrender, repentance, unity, revival, empowerment, and there are probably other things. But let me say this, brethren and sistren. Well, that's not a Bible word, is it? Many, many, many theologians, many divines, they're used to be called. Would you love that name? A divine. I'm a divine. Many divines liked to talk about the symbolism in the scripture for the Holy Spirit being a dove. Now that's a biblical, you know, says when Jesus was baptized, the Spirit came down in the form of a dove. And they like to talk about how a dove is kind of skittish. And a dove can be scared away. And the point to be made is that we need to be sensitive, you see, when the Spirit is here. We need to be sensitive to what He's saying. We need to be sensitive to what He's doing. We need to definitely not take His activity for granted. Right? It's a very, very precious gift, I believe, when God gives His people a spirit of prayer. And there's sometimes I try to pray and I might as well, this ain't gonna happen. It's not there. I can say a few words and and then there's times when you pray and it's like you could pray all day long. You ever have those experiences? You just pray and it just flows and flows. Well, what's the difference between one and the other? Well, there's several factors. There's spiritual warfare going on. There's other things going on. But I'll tell you, one of the main factors is you're yielding to the Spirit in His intercessory work in prayer. And it's a sweet thing when God gives the church a spirit of prayer. And we need to cherish it. We need to thank God for it. We need to let it flow. You get what I'm saying? Don't say, okay, I'll yield later. Yeah, I'll yield next week. Okay, I'll yield in a month, because there's no guarantee. You know, Jesus compares the Holy Spirit to wind, right? John 3, y'all know the passage. He says the wind blows where it wills. Well, that means we can't control this thing. We'd like to put, if I could put the Holy Ghost in a bottle, I'd be a rich man. In fact, there are some preachers that think they've got it in a bottle and they sell it. Okay? And they are rich men. But it doesn't work that way. The Spirit moves as He wills. And I think the Spirit's looking for people who are willing to yield to where He's blowing. You know what I'm saying? And if we'll yield to where He's blowing, He'll keep on blowing. But if we're not going to yield to where He's blowing, He'll say, okay, I'm going to blow over here. If this church doesn't want to yield to me, that's fine. I'll blow over here. Because He will find a place, He will find a people through whom He can intercede. Amen. That's what He's looking for. He's looking for a yielded people, so that when He comes and He begins to blow, we'll just be like a horn. Blow on through me. I'll make the noise, but you blow. Right? And so, you know, as the Lord draws us into prayer, whether it's here as we gather on Saturday evenings or at the men's meeting, is that this Wednesday? Men, I encourage you to be there. We're going to pray. Spirit's blowing. Ladies' meeting, Bible studies, home groups. As the Spirit wants to pray, let Him pray. Let the wind blow. Amen. And so we're encouraged. We're not talking about a program. This isn't five steps to having a praying church. Okay? I'm not talking about that. Okay? I'm not up here trying to get some new program going. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm encouraging you to be sensitive to what God is doing. I think many of you already are. So maybe to you, I'm like, I'm saying the obvious. But what I want us to do is I want us to value and appreciate what a kind thing it is that God would do that. What a gracious thing that He would come in our midst and even grant us a spirit of prayer. And so we need to not take that for granted. So we encourage you to come and to gather sanctuary as you feel led. Maybe another family you want to meet with. You might say, hey, let's do this once a week. I'll see you up there Thursday at 2 o'clock and we'll pray for half an hour. And then I'll go do my shopping and you do your thing. And however you feel led by the Lord, we encourage you to be yielding to a spirit of prayer. So before we actually look in the Word, why don't we pray? Can we do that? Now, if I let you pray, you sure you're not going to take over again? No, I'm not kidding. It's not it's not my service. It's God's service. Amen? Amen. But I would like us to pray before we look at the Word, assuming we get there. Yes. You may.
This past week, I can't remember exactly what day it was. I'm nervous. But it was a very windy day, and I thought, you know, let's go outside. I told my children, let's go outside. And so I thought, oh, you know, we could do some kind of science experiment and see how the wind blows and how it affects things. And little did I know that our pastor would be speaking about that. And my heart has been beating to surrender to God to do what His will is in my life. And so we're out there, and I'm telling the children to pick up things off the ground and to hold them in their hand and to see what things the wind would blow. Very obvious to us what things would blow. A stick, a small stick. It's light. What did the wind do? It blew it out, and it took it away. One of my sons, I think, picked up a leaf. Of course, it blew. The wind took it away. Another one went and got a big old brick. Okay? What did it do? It stayed there. Didn't move. Another one went and got a log. Held it in his hand, and it stayed. So as Pastor was speaking, I thought, you know, how many of us wants to be held up by His hand, be light as a feather, a leaf, a stick? They all look different. They're all made different. But the wind blew them. The brick. Do you guys want to be a brick and not be moved by God? I want to be moved. And I want to be moved where the Lord's going. And I pray that your hearts, whatever it's inside your heart that is making you a brick or that big log, ask Him to change you.
That's good. Yeah. Here we go.
You know, when I was sitting there, the Lord saying, Rick, you need to share. I go, you cannot just say I want to share in the middle of the service. And then Carol did it, so I'm here. What I want to share, just what really hit my heart is when David was sharing that about prayer. You know, I've been a Christian 24 years, and and a parent for 20 years and a husband for 24 years. And I've learned on this journey that when you get to certain things happen, you get to certain places, it's like a fork in the road. And you make a decision to either do this or you make a decision to do that. And as you get older, you look back and you can remember those forks in the road and you can see how that decision affected 10 years, 20 years, whatever that is. I really believe what David just shared about prayer is the fork in the road for this body. If we want to affect this culture, if we want to be the battle cry, and if we really think you're going to engage the enemy, we have got to be a church of prayer. Amen. So this is absolutely a fork in the road, and we really need to take it seriously. I shared at the prayer meeting on Wednesday just a scripture about how this king in the Old Testament, I forget what book it was in, but he 2 Chronicles chapter 2, I forget the king's name, but it said that he did everything was right with the Lord, but he didn't serve God wholeheartedly. And I think that is a big deal here. We need to be wholeheartedly in prayer because that's going to make the difference. This is a defining moment in our body. We'll be able to look back 20 years from now, and we're either going to take this road or the other road. And I just really want to say that it's what you said was great, but I just want to scream almost that is so, so important on what he just said. The next Wednesday prayer meeting, and I'm not saying a guilt trip, but look how many people are here. Wednesday night should look just like this. And there was a lot of people here Wednesday, don't get me wrong. And I know everyone can't do it. Again, it's not a program. It's not anything like that. But on prayer meetings, we should be filling the place up.
Amen.
I know that many of you saw me up here last week at the end of the service afterwards, and I got to tell you honestly, I was ticked off at you because you left too soon, as far as I was concerned. And then David started playing keyboard. I was like, "No, don't stop this now." And I shared with Brian and a few others, and I was wearing my cool hoodie, and I was laying down here, but my hoodie was on the back of my head, and I kept trying to get up. I'd lay there and I'd say, "Okay, I'm gonna get up now. Everybody's gone. It's kind of stupid. I'm just up here all by myself." And God said, "Don't move. Don't move. I'm not done yet." And I'm telling you something, just for me. He was giving me things that I've never heard before. He was saying things to me. He was telling me things about you, things that are going to happen, things that will happen in this fight, in this war. I'm going to tell you straight up. I shared it with Dan Benson last week after we left here. If we go to war, I'm going to be real dead up with you. And straight up, God promised me there will be casualties. Some of you are going to sit and play and be goofy and think that God's not watching you and that all this stuff you're doing, ignoring all the cool stuff that he's doing, that you're going to just smooth on down the road and everything's going to be okay. I'm warning you, there will be casualties. There have been already. In the last week, we have gone through some of the most intense spiritual warfare we have in our entire ministry. My wife walked out with me last night. She said, "I am whipped. I am drained." And that was just with the 20 or 30 teenagers last night, spiritually fighting forces of darkness all night. And I felt like this all week. And I want to tell you what happened up here. And this is what's got to happen. What David said was just exactly right. I totally agree with what he's saying. There's no program. There's nothing we can do. I wanted to get up here and say, "Here we go again. We're going to start the format. And we're going to run it." Stop. Formats create chaos in my mind. I have a chaotic mind, so it's totally opposite, you know. When you format it, it's chaos. I need chaos to be formatted. So I need to know that I can let loose and let go and talk about Jesus and come and pray with you. I want those doors to be unlocked so that I can walk in here any time of the day and come and fall on my knees and pray with you and be in this building. Not just here. To finish my story, I was up here, and I don't have stuff like this happen often. My hoodie was on my back, and I'm praying and praying and praying and praying, and you're all talking, and I don't know what's going on. I haven't looked up. God just talking to me, and I don't know what's going on. And I tried to get up once, and I'm not joking. I looked around. Nobody was there, after it happened, it was like God said, "Stay here and listen to me. Be still and just listen. And he threw somebody, threw my hoodie over my head. I'm not exaggerating. I kind of felt weird when it happened, and I looked around. I peeked underneath it, and there was no one there. So if you did that, you need to raise your hand. Because right now, I think it was God. And when he did this, he said to me, "Come and be still and hear what I have to say to you." Church, come and be still and hear what God has to say to you. We cannot be normal. I want to go beyond what my reasonable service is here in prayer. And I'm telling you right now, I started to come up when David was speaking. I should have listened to the Holy Spirit. I wanted to get up right in front of him and say, "Everybody get up and listen to what he's saying. You're not getting it." And I wanted to just come and shake you a little bit. And you know, you can say, "Tim, you're a little out there and everything." Good. Good. Because if that's where you're at, stay away from me. Because I'm not going back to normal. I'm not going to sit back. If we're going to have a church, as Rick is praying for and I'm praying for, that's blended together, I'm going to echo one thing that was said last week. You guys that got offenses against people and you say you're a Christian and you're sitting in this room, you can say all you want about offense, but offense means you don't like. And if you don't like, you can equate that to hate. And you can read 1 John what it says about somebody who hates their brother. The truth is not in you, and you make God a liar. Listen to me. We have got to come together, and now's the time to do it. I believe I'm giving you a word, not a prophetic word, but I believe I'm giving you a word. Some of you, we need to see miracles in your families, and it will start a chain reaction that you won't believe. And I don't know who you are. I just know that it's here, the tension is here, and we need to continue to pray through it. I'm not going to preach anymore. I'm done, but I'm telling you, I'm not going to be silent anymore. And I don't want you to be silent in my life. Unless we come to a place where we can trust each other and pray and hear what he said. I just wonder, I'm going to ask you guys, somebody in this room, tell me what David just said about the Holy Spirit. Huh? It's wind. And what did he say, though, about it? Why are we hesitating? He's going to blow. He wants to blow through us. He wants to do something in us. Did you hear that part? And he, like he said, I love that, David, when you held it up, the piece of paper, it is not a program. The Holy Spirit doesn't work on 9 to 5. It is not that. We're sitting and we're comfortable and these chairs are soft. It'd be a whole lot better maybe if they were hard and we were sweating and they're freezing here. Because then we get a little tough about what's going on. Needs mean you move. I got news for you. It's time to move. The needs are here and they're within us. Listen, some of us in here, we're this close to falling away. And he's sitting next to you and look to you. We don't know what's going on with our friends. I sat with 400 guys this morning in some meeting and looked around. And some guy comes up in chairs and I'm riding at home. Before I get done, I meet a kid that was going to commit suicide. And so the guy that's coming to a meeting, maybe to the concert next week, Rob, he's going to be there. I've invited him to come. He's a 22-year-old guy I met today. The needs are there. And I stopped for 2 seconds to talk to this kid. And that's how fast it happened. You guys don't even know what's going on to the person next to you. Some of you with your kids, you don't know what's going on. Let me tell you something. God is calling us to get on our knees and make some changes. And some of you, I'm warning you straight up, last time from me. The word I got here is we're going to war. We're going to war. A lot of us are going to war. Carol, I appreciate what you said. I really appreciate what you said. The time is right. And I think if we miss this, it's one of those things is, I'll say like ever, I don't know when it's going to blow again. When I sat in my truck, and I'll close with this, leaving the other day, I was like, probably out the same time Carol was. I was just sitting and praying. Some things had just happened with a couple of teens I was working with, and I was really burdened for them. And I was sitting outside the hangar, I was looking, and behind the little building they got back there, I mean, the trees were just waving. And you know what they were saying to me? "We worship God. What are you doing?" Because God said even creation itself will shout out, "I am the Lord." And God really convicted me about that. I've been hiding, trying not to ruffle the waters, trying not to mess with anything. Watch out. Join me. I'm just one of you. It's a us thing. We need to go after it. That's my word. And let God speak to your life tonight. Some of you are saying, "Well, that's nice, Tim. That's good." Go spend some time in your prayer closet, friend. It's not nice anymore. The battle is real. When we walk out of these doors, it's just as dangerous as when we walk in. And you think about that for a minute, because this place is a landmine. There's so many things that could blow up here, it's not funny. And it's because we won't get real and fall down on our faces and get before God and come together as a body of Christ. I'm sick of it. I'm just tired of it. And I really need a lot of help right now in my own life. I need prayer. I need you guys to come stand alongside as brothers and sisters, not as some super counselor or some cool dude. I want to pray with you and be about what's going on in your life too. I'm going to share. And all you guys that are holding all your little secrets in, I got news for you. They're going to be shouted from the housetop today. You might as well get them out now and get these things confessed. Let's get this stuff fixed. Let's correct this family. We don't do it. Well, you've been warned. There will be casualties, and it's time to make things right. And you guys who are sitting there uncomfortable right now, you probably ought to do what happened at a restaurant when we were out last week. And so two ladies just got up and took off and said, now's the time. They didn't wait. They took care of it right there. And I honored them. I was like, wow, that's what we need. We need people who just pick somebody up and say, now you need to come with me. We need to go take care of this. That's when the body will start breaking open and doing this. You think this is a bunch of baloney and stuff I'm doing? You're not doing this. You're not getting into it. Well, maybe it is to you. But I'm this close, you guys. I'm this close to stepping out without you. But I'm that far. And I'm not threatening. I'm not doing anything. I told my wife and she threatens me. And I'm telling you, I cannot wait anymore. I cannot sit by and watch what's going on around me and sit in here and be happy. I want the power of God to come from the preaching of the word and convict the daylights out of me. I need that every week. Dude, the enemy comes after us 7 days a week. He does not rest. Lord, I pray for the body at large that we would have ears to hear and these eyes would see and our mouth would speak and people would say, behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called the children of God. We have been given a great gift, and our stewardship is horrible with it right now. Mine is. Forgive me, Lord. Help me to get out of this place and get into the place where you want me to be and change my life, God. I do not want to be normal anymore. I want to be what you want me to be, whatever that takes. And I pray you bless us and we draw us together and make us one in you, that we might go out and be a force for the enemy to reckon with. And we ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Do you remember that the video that we saw a couple weeks ago that Tim showed? We sat down, me and a member of my team of... on our team at work, sat down, and we were talking with another member of our team, and she said, sorry I didn't come in for that shift that I was supposed to work Saturday. She said, I have a 12-year-old, I think it was cousin or something, who was kind of having a fight, I think, with her mom or something, and, you know, her mom needed to go out to get some groceries, I think, or something. And the child said, don't go out, Mom. I really don't want you to go out. And so she said, well, I'm going to go out. I need to go out and do this. And she said, please don't go out. If you go out, I'm going to kill myself. And this 12-year-old, when she came back, was hanging by a new belt she had just bought from a store. And there were apparently scratch marks. I don't know if she changed her mind or what happened. I don't know if it's natural, but there were scratch marks at her throat, like she was maybe trying to get the belt off when she had done this. Where's Tim? It's real, you know. It's real. And you know what I said to her? I said, well, I'll pray for her. You know, that ain't good enough. I mean, I'm going to talk to her again this week and invite her to this church. And the Lord kind of gave me a word this morning. I'm reading this. I got some copies of this. I'm handing out to some folks. It's called Absolute Surrender. It's a really, really good book. I just started to read it, and I was reading it, and the Lord kind of gave me a word, and it was the word arrested. And I thought, and I was praying about surrender. I said, well, what does arrested mean? So I looked up my dictionary, and the word arrested means to seize by legal authority. To seize by legal authority. And I just began to pray, God, seize my heart. You know, he has legal authority. He bought us with the blood of Christ. He redeemed us. He took us out of the kingdom of darkness and in the kingdom of his dear son. He adopted us into his family. We were we were children of the devil, and he made us children of the living God. And I'm just praying, God, just seize my heart. You own it. It belongs to you. You bought it. It cost you the most precious thing you had in the universe. Please seize it, God. Please possess my heart. And I was walking throughout the day today, and God answered. I mean, I was just thinking, what is the will of God? And each situation I was going, I'm thinking about loving his word. You know, hiding his word in my heart, loving his word is righteous, his word is good, loving his law, thinking about his will, you know, in each situation that I'm in. And I'm just praying that's what we will do. We'll surrender absolutely. There's a text that he starts off this book with, and it's actually about two kings. And it talks, and this is in 1 Kings 20. And it says, and Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all his hosts together, and there were 32 kings with him, and horses and chariots. And he went up and besieged Samaria and warred against it. And he sent messengers to Ahab, king of Israel, and to the city. So he's sending messengers to Ahab, king of Israel, and said unto him, thus saith Ben-Hadad, thy silver and thy gold is mine, thy wives also and thy children, even the goodliest are mine. And the king of Israel answered and said to him, my lord, O king, according to thy saying, I am thine and all that I have. And he just uses that as a text to talk about how we need to be saying that to the Lord. Lord, I am yours and all that I have, all things.
Pray together. If you feel led to pray, go ahead and pray, and I'll close the prayer time.
Just as Rick shared, that it would be wholehearted, God. A lot of us are doing the right thing, God, but we want wholehearted. We want our hearts to be set on you, God, 100%. We just pray, God, that our desire would be after you. And it's going to come through spending intimate time with you, God, in prayer and in your word. Give us hearts after you. In your name.
We want to cast away the things that aren't of you, Lord. So whatever it is that's holding us back, whatever those bricks are, like Carol said, God, I believe that was a word from you. Whatever those bricks are, Father, I pray that you would reveal that to your people and that we would have courage and we would set those things aside and seek you with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength, Lord. We want to, whatever's holding us back, God, we want to seek you with our whole heart. And I agree with Rick also, Lord. Just ask you to continue to pour out your spirit upon us. We need your grace. We need your mercy. And I ask you, God, I know times of refreshing come from your presence, and we just ask you to refresh us right now, Lord.
Our brothers and our sisters, Lord. Or the grudges that we hold, Lord, that keep us from, that make us the bricks, Father. And God, don't let us waste any more time holding back our hearts from you in fear. You've given us You've not given us a spirit of fear, Lord. You're our Father, our Redeemer. Lord, you love us. We are safe with you in this wind. It is scary, Lord, to let go. God, give us the courage, Lord. Help us let go. Hurts inside of them, Lord. Offenses from people within the body. I pray that they would go tonight, Lord. They would waste no more time. Go to each other now. And Lord God, heal your body. Heal your body so it can move out. You are wanting to mobilize an army, Lord, but it can't move out wounded. And I pray that you would heal your body, Lord.
Hearts right now, Lord, and we will examine our hearts, O Lord, and ask ourselves, what yoke do we have upon our back? What burden are we holding, Lord? Because you, Lord, you say your yoke is easy and your burden is light, Lord. Father, come, Holy Spirit, now. And I pray, O Lord, I cry out to you, come and examine these hearts of ours, God. And I do pray, Lord, that you would heal our wounds as you bled on the cross, Lord. Mm-hmm. Your blood was for our healing, God. Mm-hmm. And stop letting us be lied to, God. Stop letting us be lied to. Lord, break the chains that we have put on ourselves, God. Father, let us be your army. Let us be about your business, the business of proclaiming the truth to a dying and a lost world, Lord Jesus. Father, let us follow your commands. Let us be humble and gentle and kind with one another, Lord Jesus. I'm crying that out to my own heart, Lord God. Let us be your people, a royal priesthood, unique, God, and precious in your sight, God. If these hearts of yours, your children, God, are hurting, God, would you let them be bold and come before you, a God who is loving, who is kind, who is compassionate, and you will not turn them away, God. You will not. And stop letting them be lied to, Lord. Stop that right now in the name of Jesus. No more lies, God. No more lies in the people of our, in our hearts, God. In Jesus' name I pray.
I know that you are here. Father, I yield to you in the name of Jesus. I yield my family to you. I yield my church to you. Father, I want to yield to you, to your healing work in my life and in this church's life. We must yield. We must yield, and you are powerful to save us.
Grace, God. I thank you, Lord, that our prayers, the prayers of the saints, are incense before your throne, God. I ask that you will move in our hearts and help us not to be in bondage to the lies, Lord. in bondage to fear, but in Hebrews, your word says that we can boldly go before your throne, Lord. You are the great intercessor, Lord, our high priest, Lord. You know you have been tempted in every way, God, but you know us, Lord, and you loved us anyway, God. We have been called out of darkness into your glorious light, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we will step out of that darkness, Lord, that I will step away from the lie of inadequacy, Lord, and boldly stand up before your throne and cry out to you, a holy God, Lord, who knows what we need, Lord, before we even ask, God, because you're a holy and righteous God, and you know us, and you love us, God, and you sacrificed your Son on the cross to cleanse us of our sins, Lord, and I praise you for your truth, and I pray that your Spirit, Lord, will indeed move on us, Lord, and will call us to action, Lord, in prayer, Lord, in our walk. And that we will indeed boldly proclaim your truth as we should, Lord. That we, Lord, that we will proclaim what we have seen and heard, Lord. Your word, your gospel, Lord. That it will be poured out in our lives, Lord. That we will not hide it away from the world, Lord, in fear. But we will boldly stand up and say, yes, I am a sinner. Yes, I'm fallen. But God loved me enough to die for me. And I am his child. And I'm going to walk in truth. And I'm going to share his love. And the fact that his blood was shed on the cross to save the world. Let us go out boldly with your Spirit, Lord. And not to hide in fear, God. I praise you for your mercy and your grace and your love and your compassion. You are never ending, God. You are indeed the Alpha and Omega in your holiness, Lord. The hills, they melt like wax before you, God. Let us see you for what you are, a holy and righteous God. Lord, when we stumble and when we fall, Lord, you forgive us. And we are to get up, Lord, and we are to run the race in order to win the prize and not to hide in fear, Lord. Through the name of Jesus Christ and through his blood, I bind the evil one. Through his power, Lord, your power, God, and your Holy Spirit, I pray that you would be with us now, right now, that you will consume us as a church, Lord, that you will break down the lies of the evil one, Lord, that are tearing us apart, Lord, and that we will boldly go before you and cry out to you, Abba, Father, because you are our daddy. And I praise you for your grace and mercy that was poured out on the cross, Lord. I thank you for your love and your compassion, God, that is never ending. Move on us, God. Cause us to blow where you want us to be, Lord, and to go where you want us to be, and to submit, God, and to boldly stand with truth, Lord. And not to waver, Lord, in the society of softness, Lord, but that we will stand with your truth, Lord. Your burden indeed is light, Lord. Let us step out, Lord, and take up our cross daily and follow you, Lord, and not fear. What can man do to us? If God is for me, who can be against me, God, Lord? Let that be the cry of our heart, Lord, as we come to you, Lord. You are our Father. You love us, Lord, and compassion and mercy, Lord. They're new every day, God. I praise you and I thank you for Pastor Vaughn and for Tim Ward, Lord, and for Pastor Voles. I ask that your power, Lord, will move through them, Lord. Use them as your instruments, Lord, to teach us your word and your truth and your power. And give us ears to hear, Lord, and eyes to see your truth, Lord. I praise you and I thank you. You are an awesome God, Lord, and you reign on high forever, Lord. You are never ending in days, God. I thank you, Jesus.